This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah thumma alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the ability, the opportunity to be able to witness the day of Arafah, Yawm Arafah. And I wanted us to take a little bit of time out here tonight or this evening, right before the time of iftar, which we'll talk more about the significance of this fast and something for us to focus on here. But I wanted us to take out a few moments to be able to really understand and appreciate exactly, you know, what opportunity Allah has granted us here. The significance of the day of Arafah, to understand how remarkable this day is, how profound this day is, how virtuous and blessed this occasion is, and what kind of history has occurred on this particular day. So, first and foremost, this day of Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ, maybe the most significant thing about this particular day, is that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajju Arafah, that the entirety of Hajj, the act of Hajj, right, which we know exactly what Hajj is. Hajj is a fifth pillar of Islam. It is one of the obligations of our religion. It is the culmination of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hajj is an experience. It is a moment. It is a practice. Raja'aka yawmin waladatu ummuhu, that if a person goes and performs Hajj, they return back from Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ used this particular expression to describe it. That person will return back in the form or in the condition in which their mother gave birth to them. They'll basically return back anew, completely free of any kind of sin and tarnish that they might have been carrying with them from over the years and the decades. So Hajj is so profound and so powerful and so beautiful. Right? It is the meeting place of the entire ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ says that the day of Hajj, the day that basically completes Hajj and fulfills the Hajj, is Yawm Arafah. Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. So that's this particular day. And that's how blessed this day is. The Prophet ﷺ, when he himself, the Qur'an, how does the Qur'an tie in with the day of Arafah? It's important for us to understand. The Prophet ﷺ, when he went for Hajj, and he was performing the Hajj there, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that this particular verse was revealed upon me there in Arafat, on the day of Arafah, and that verse was, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have completed for you your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have fulfilled upon you my blessing, Allah says. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I have approved for you Islam as a way of life. So this particular verse of the Qur'an, which in many ways represents the completion of the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, it was revealed on the day of Arafah. Arafah, just like we talked about, it's both things. For the Hujjaj, It is a day of new beginnings. But at the same time, for the Prophet ﷺ, the day of Arafah was a day of completion. It was a day of fulfillment of the mission and the promise of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, therefore, he says about Arafah, أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةٍ. The best of the days is the day of Arafah. And the Prophet ﷺ, in another narration, he says that مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَفْضَلِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. That there is no day that is more virtuous in the sight of God than the day of Arafah. يَنْزِلُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَيُبَاهِي بِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ أَهْلَ السَّمَاءِ. That on the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends His mercy down closer to humanity. And on this day, the people upon the earth who fast and who make dua and who worship, Allah brags about those people to the people of the heavens. That Allah tells the angels, look at my servants upon the earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَاهِي بِأَهْلِ عَرَفَةَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. The people who are worshipping Allah on this day, particularly the people in Hajj, we probably all saw the pictures of the Hujjaj making dua in Arafah. But nonetheless, the narration says that all the people that are worshipping Allah, calling out to Allah on the day of Arafah, Allah brags about them to the angels. And Allah says, look at my servants, right? Particularly on a day like today. It's not that big of a deal, but nonetheless, it's not nothing, right? Everybody who fasted, we realize today that we're out of practice with those long, hot fasts of the summer, right? March spoiled us a lot, all right? March and April spoiled us a little bit. We realize that today. We felt it today. But so that little bit of inconvenience, that little bit of sacrifice, it goes a very, very long way. Where it earns us the love and the pleasure of Allah. And that's something very remarkable and beautiful on this day. Now, specifically, on the day of Arafah, fasting is very important. Now, obviously, we're talking about this at the end of the fast. But I just wanted to mention, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned something. صيام يوم عرفة أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والسنة التي بعده. That the fasting on the day of Arafah, I hope from the mercy of Allah, he says. I hope from the mercy of Allah. One very important thing whenever we are performing good deeds is to actually have hope in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why even though whatever choice we made today is made, and now we're near the end of the fast. But I still wanted to mention this because in the scenario and in the case, in the instance that we were fasting, it's very important in these moments right now to be thinking about and reflecting on the reward from Allah. Well, what is the reward from Allah? The reward from Allah is that the Prophet ﷺ says, all of our sins of the previous year, will be wiped out. All of our sins of the previous year will be cleaned out, wiped out. Clean slate. By just fasting for one day. And Allah, the way the Prophet ﷺ words it is, all the sins of the coming year will also be removed. But how can you be forgiven for something that hasn't happened yet? How can you be forgiven for something that hasn't occurred yet? Even though Allah can do anything. But the Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains, what that means is Allah will grant that person protection from falling into further sin for the coming year. Allah will grant that person protection. Allah will guide that person, protect that person, so that they do not fall into sin for the whole coming year. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرٍ مِنْ أَنْ يَعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. That there is no day on which Allah frees more people from the fire of hell than the day of Arafah. And so this is the day of dua. This is the day of dua, where we make dua, we ask Allah, we supplicate to God, we spread our hands before Allah, we beg and we plead to Allah. We ask whatever it is that we need, whatever it is that is troubling us, whatever it is that is weighing on our heart, whatever it is that has been causing great stress and distress, that this is the day where we can pour that all out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the narration says, more people are freed from the hellfire today than any other day throughout the entire year. Because this is the day when many people, millions of our brothers and sisters, just, you know, however many hours before, were standing there in Arafah, and they were begging for forgiveness for themselves, for their families, for their friends, for their communities, for the whole ummah. And then all the fasting people all throughout the world, du'as are accepted on the day of Arafah. On the day of Arafah, du'as are accepted. The fasting person, their du'as are accepted. When the person sits down and is about to break their fast, in the moments, few moments before the opening of the fast, du'as are accepted. So think about all the factors that are combining here today, right now, in this very moment. The day of Arafah, fasting, the time of iftar. All of that is creating such a remarkable opportunity for our du'as to be accepted. And so the primary thing the Prophet ﷺ taught us, now we can ask for anything, and we should ask for everything. But a little reminder to me and all of y'all is that as human beings, as people, we can sometimes become so consumed by something that is really troubling us or something that we desperately need, that we need a little healthy reminder that yes, ask for whatever, ask for anything, ask for everything. But a little healthy reminder from the Prophet ﷺ to all of us, that the thing that we are most desperately in need of, more than anything else, is the forgiveness of Allah. And I forget that, because I'm a human being. And so I become so overwhelmed and inundated and consumed by my own consumption. I become so consumed by my immediate worldly needs. But it hurts here, and I'm hungry, and my pocket's empty. Right? I become so consumed by this. Not that these are bad things. Of course we should be making dua for these things. But I do become very overwhelmed by all these things. The pain and the money and the loss and the need and the want. Right? I become very overwhelmed by all of it. And so I'm sitting there with my long dua list, and God forbid, that whole dua list, it didn't say forgiveness on there anywhere. It didn't say Allah's mercy anywhere. It didn't say Jannah. It didn't say protection from hellfire anywhere. That would be a tragedy. It'd be a travesty. And so on this day, more than anything else, we ask Allah for His forgiveness. And think. And then now, billions of Muslims around the world, begging and pleading, crying, fasting, thirsty, hungry, tired, exhausted. And then making dua for forgiveness. And think about, inshallah, may Allah accept all of our prayers, but the billions of people being freed from the hellfire today. May Allah make us amongst them. And so that's the significance of the day of Arafah. Now, before we kind of move towards the time where inshallah we'll make some dua, we'll spend a little time in dua and supplication, there were a few things that I wanted to also highlight about Arafah. And that, you know, just historically and in terms of the principles of our deen and our religion, our usul, what we call, right? I do think that it's important that we talk about a couple of things. Number one, that the day of Arafah is also the day and the occasion of what is maybe the most important, comprehensive address of the Prophet ﷺ to his ummah. And if it's the most remarkable and most important address of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his ummah, then that means it is the most remarkable address any human being has ever delivered. This might just be the most important and profound speech that any human being has ever given. And that was Khutbatu Hajjatul Wida, the sermon of the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on this day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered this address. And in many ways, it was again foundational, but it was also completing his message and his mission. And we'll talk about it here in just a few moments about what he said at the end that allows us to understand that he was completing his mission. And he was preparing for his departure. And he was bidding farewell to his ummah on this particular day. But the Prophet ﷺ delivered this khutbah of Hajjatul Wida. Maybe we've seen posters and graphics and things like that where you'll have the whole khutbah written down. And so if you look at that, it is of decent length, but at the same time, it's not like pages and pages long. It fits onto one, poster, maybe a couple of pages, but that's the entirety of it. But what he said on that day, by the way, number one, it should be noted, that is the longest khutbah the Prophet ﷺ ever gave in his entire life. That is the longest khutbah he ever gave, which would maybe maximum fill up two pages. That's it. That was his longest khutbah ever. Because the Prophet ﷺ had a particular gift, Jawami'ul Kalim. He was granted the gift of comprehensive speech. He could say a lot in very little. And the Prophet ﷺ, while this was the lengthiest speech he ever gave, but still it wasn't that lengthy, it's so profound and so rich in meaning that entire books have been written on the meaning of that speech. Entire books. There's one particular text I have, 180 pages were written explaining the meaning of his speech on that day. So, very profound. So obviously, we can't get into all of it here. I like to just leave people sometimes with a little bit of a reference where you can go into more detail. If you visit the Qalam podcast, we have a podcast series on there called the Seerah podcast. Unfortunately, you'll be subjected to more of my voice. But in the Seerah podcast, there are three sessions, 3 hours, where we went through the khutbah line by line and discussed the meaning of it. And even that 3 hours, I'll be very honest with you, was a summary. But still, even the summary of it was covered in 3 hours. So that's somewhere where you can basically go and kind of listen to at your own leisure. If somebody would like to explore the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida in more depth and more detail. All right? But I wanted to highlight a few lessons that the Prophet ﷺ imparted to us on the day of Arafah during his Hajj. Some things for us to reflect upon. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ said to us on that day, and this is something that obviously it needed to be mentioned and it needed to be talked about. I was hoping to talk about it here. On that day, the Prophet ﷺ engaged in a very fascinating dialogue and exchange with the ummah. There were over 100,000 sahaba performing hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. And he started asking them questions and going back and forth with them. Very interesting. He says, first of all, أَيُّ شَهْرٍ هَذَا? What month is this? أَيُّ يَوْمٍ هَذَا? What day is this? وَأَيُّ بَلَدٍ هَذِهِ? And what place is this? Now obviously, the Prophet ﷺ was not asking them about, I forgot what the date is. Where he was asking them, who didn't know? They're performing Hajj, it's Arafah. Everybody knew it's the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. Everybody knew. The Prophet ﷺ was not asking them some frivolous question like what day of the week is it? What relevance and significance does that have? But the Prophet ﷺ, they understood he was asking them, what is the significance of this month? What is the significance of this day? And of course they knew where they were. They didn't just end up there by accident. How do 100,000 people show up somewhere by accident? Of course not. They knew exactly where they were. Jabal Rahmah is right there. So they of course knew where they were, but they understood the Prophet ﷺ was asking them, what is the significance of this place? And they all responded and replied in one voice, شَهْرٌ حَرَامٌ وَيَوْمٌ حَرَامٌ وَبَلَدٌ حَرَامٌ. That they said, this is a sacred month, this is a sacred day, and this is a sacred place. And what the Prophet ﷺ was trying to do was create in a sense of the gravity of the moment. This place is sacred, this month is sacred, this day is sacred, this place is sacred. Like to understand what that means. Like imagine being in Mecca or Medina on the 27th night of Ramadan. Imagine. The Prophet ﷺ was saying, well, this isn't that different. This day is also very, very sacred. Now here's the implication of that. If it was the 27th night of Ramadan and you were in Mecca or Medina, can you imagine, can you even fathom, can you comprehend committing a sin? Would you? Like deliberately commit a sin? Absolutely not. It's terrifying, it's horrifying to even think about it. Well, the Prophet ﷺ was also saying that y'all are here in Hajj, wearing ihram, in front of the Prophet ﷺ, performing Hajj. Would you ever commit a sin? Would you ever violate this moment? And they said, no, 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 no. Well, the Prophet ﷺ then he said that إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, then remember that your lives, your blood, your lives, and your property, your wealth, is also sacred. And how you can't even imagine violating this moment? That the violating the life and the property of a believer is even more horrifying than the idea of committing a violation right now. If you're wearing ihram, standing in Arafat, in front of the Prophet ﷺ, think about how horrifying it is to commit a sin there. The Prophet ﷺ said, violating the life and the property of a single Muslim is more horrifying than even that. And so the Prophet ﷺ on that particular day, one of the big lessons that he imparted was about the sanctity of life. I talk about this very specifically amongst all the other lessons that we could talk about here, because we once again cross another date and another occasion off of our calendars. And the massacre and the genocide of our brothers and sisters in Gaza still continues. How horrific of an idea it is that we've gone through so many like dates on the calendar. So many. That we have gone through Muharram, Ashura, the beginning and the end of Ramadan and Eid. Now here we are, Dhul Hijjah, Arafah, Hajj, and about to do another Eid. And nothing has changed. It still continues. It hasn't stopped. And so I connect this back to the earlier point that we talked about, and that is the power and the significance of this day. This is the day of du'as. This is the day that du'as are answered. That we need to be making du'a, and we will be making du'a on this day once again, but with full conviction, with no doubt in our minds or in our hearts that Allah will answer our du'as. But the Prophet ﷺ on this day, he talked about the sanctity of life. How sacred life is. And this is a lesson, right? Somebody might think that why would he, in his most important address, talk about something so obvious as, oh yeah, murder is bad. Well, look around the world today. We just talked about the example of our own brothers and sisters in Gaza. And look at just, you know, our recent history as humanity. We have taken all the gifts that Allah gave us, the intelligence, the ability, the resources, all of it. We took all of it and we poured it into a singular effort of becoming more efficient at killing human beings. That is our big achievement as humanity today. That we're good at destroying people. And so think about this lesson of the Prophet ﷺ, this reminder from him. And he reminded us of this, that be mindful of the sanctity of life. And as we just mentioned, once again, particularly for us, this is a very important reminder, that if I had maybe become a little less kind of tuned in and dialed in into what's happening to my brothers and sisters, then this is a reminder that I need to reconnect. I do not have the luxury. I do not have the ability. It is a crime. It is criminal for me to become distant and unaware and disconnected from what's happening to my brothers and sisters. And if some of us have been carrying this burden on our heart, and it feels very heavy, and it continues to be very heavy, then this is a reminder from the Prophet ﷺ that we are, that then say Alhamdulillah. Because in this particular moment, that should be the condition of a believer, that they are concerned, that they are distressed about what's happening to the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. On this particular day, the Prophet ﷺ, he made such an emphatic dua. And I wanted to kind of conclude on this as we go into the dua ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ made such emphatic dua. There's a narration in which the Prophet ﷺ says that the best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. And the most blessed thing that I have said today, the Prophet ﷺ says that he has said today, and that all the prophets before him said, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa hu ala kulli shayin qadir. That there is no one worthy of worship except for Allah. And he alone is worthy of our worship, and he has no partners. And to him belongs everything, and to him belongs the ultimate praise. And he is capable over everything. And the Prophet ﷺ, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, says that the Prophet ﷺ kept making this dua on the day of Arafah. Allahumma lakal hamdu kalladhi naqul, wa khayran mimma naqul. Oh Allah, all praise belongs to you, as we are saying, and even better than the praise that we are saying. Allahumma laka salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. Oh Allah, to you is dedicated all my worship, all my sacrifices, all my life, and even my death. Everything is dedicated to you, O Allah. Wa ilayka ma'abi. And O Allah, to you will I return. Wa laka rabbi turathi. And everything I have done good in this life is all dedicated to you, O Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. O Allah, I ask you for protection from the punishment of the grave. Wa waswasati sadr. And O Allah, I ask you to protect my heart from the whispers of shaitan. Wa shattati al-amr. And O Allah, I ask you to protect us, protect me and protect us from all other kinds of evil things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri ma yaji'u bihi rihu. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me from anything evil that the wind could bring sweeping in. And Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the closest people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and used to always be in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting on the back of his camel making dua. And he had his hands up making dua. And he had the rope of the camel sitting on the back of the camel. And while he was making dua, the rope slipped and fell off the back of the camel. And when it fell, it kind of caused a bit of a tug on the rein of the camel. So the camel started dipping its head while the Prophet was sitting on it. So what you have to do in that situation, you need to grab the reins and you need to pull it up again so that the camel will get straight again. And he says, I was watching the Prophet ﷺ making dua, and the rope fell, and the Prophet ﷺ, without breaking his concentration, without lowering both of his hands, he reached down with one hand and he grabbed the rope and he pulled it back up, but he didn't stop making dua. Because that time and those moments were so precious and so valuable that he did not want to miss a second of dua, not 10 seconds of dua. Such a precious moment. So inshallah, what we're going to do from now is we're going to engage in some dua, some supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please be focused, remain focused and concentrate, and let's make the most of these last few moments that we have of dua.
We have just a few minutes, so we're going to, inshallah, read some du'as. And then I want to encourage everybody, after we're done reading the du'as, that you make du'a on your own. I'm actually going to sit on the floor and face the Qibla, inshallah. But what we'll do is we'll have a couple minutes of du'as as a group, and then we'll have a few moments of silence where everybody can then beseech Allah Ta'ala personally. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem. Allahumma ya rabbil alameen. O Allah, we ask you for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. O Allah, you are the one who is the most forgiving. O Allah, you are the one who forgives and who loves to forgive, Ya Allah. So we ask you to please forgive us, Ya Allah. O Allah, if you were to take all of the sins that we have committed, all of the mistakes that we have made and the indiscretions that we have, O Allah, if you were to count all of our negligence and all of our moments of forgetfulness, Ya Allah. O Allah, we know that your forgiveness of those things would be nothing to you, Ya Allah. You could forgive us in a moment, Ya Allah, and for us, it would completely clean our slate, Ya Allah, but for you, it would be nothing but a single instance of your mercy, Ya Allah. So please forgive us, Ya Allah. O Allah, gather all of our sins and our shortcomings, Ya Allah, and forgive them and wipe them clean on this day, Ya Allah. This is the day in which you send down your mercy, Ya Allah, the most, Ya Allah. Please allow us to take part in that mercy, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to be those who are constantly guided, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us the goodness in this life, Ya Allah, and the goodness in the next life, Ya Allah, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire, Ya Allah. O Allah, on this day, On this day, Ya Allah, it is the day in which you save the most souls from the fire of hell, Ya Allah. That you write their names free from the fire of hell, that their necks are saved. O Allah, include us in that list, Ya Allah. Include us and our parents, Ya Allah. And our families, Ya Allah. And our teachers, Ya Allah. And all of our loved ones, Ya Allah. And the entire ummah, everybody who believes, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. O Allah, allow them to be amongst those that are cleared from the hellfire, Ya Allah. O Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to relieve all of our anxieties and distresses, Ya Allah. O Allah, we ask you to free us from all of our worries and all of our anxieties, Ya Allah. Our grief and our incapacity, Ya Allah. O Allah, protect us from laziness, Ya Allah. Protect us from being cowardly, Ya Allah, and being miserly, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to be those that are free from debt, Ya Allah. And allow us to have our own agency, Ya Allah, that we're not overpowered by other people, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us health, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us health and well-being, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us health and well-being in this life and the next life, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, please allow our hearts to remain firm on this path of La Ilaha Illallah. O Allah, do not let our hearts fall off, Ya Allah. Don't let us become distracted, Ya Allah. Don't let our hearts deviate from one another, Ya Allah, from things like jealousy and rancor and envy, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to always remain united, Ya Allah, upon the Kalima, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to always be those that unite upon our blessed messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can see him on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, and he can take us by the hand into paradise, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, we ask you to give us strength, Ya Allah, and patience, Ya Allah, and allow us to be firm against all of the disbelieving efforts, Ya Allah. O Allah, we ask you to grant us patience, Ya Allah. We ask you to grant the entire ummah patience, Ya Allah, and strength, Ya Allah, and allow them to withstand, Ya Allah, all the oppression and tyranny, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. O Allah, we ask you on this day, Ya Allah, in which you send down your mercy in the most amount, Ya Allah, in the highest volume, in the highest quantity, Ya Allah. Allow your mercy to hit us, Ya Allah, like the rays of the sun, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow your mercy to envelop us like oxygen, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow your mercy to fall upon us like the rain of a storm, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow your mercy to cover us, Ya Allah. Allow your mercy to completely envelop us, Ya Allah, so that we experience nothing but your mercy, Ya Allah, in this life and the next, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. O Allah, there are many things that we seek from you, Ya Allah, and you know what is in the depths of every single person's heart, Ya Allah. O Allah, if it is good for us, Ya Allah, grant it for us. And O Allah, if it is not good for us, then remove it from us and replace it with that which is better, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. O Allah, we ask you to send your peace and blessings upon our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our teacher, our beloved, our guide, our role model, the one who stood for us and cried in the night, Ya Allah, and he wept his eyes, Ya Allah, for us, Ya Allah. O Allah, send your peace and blessings upon him and his family, Ya Allah, and upon his companions, Ya Allah, and allow us to be amongst those who follow them until the end of time, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. And now I want to encourage everybody to take just one moment to make their own du'as before we hand out dates for the iftar.